Good morning, Victory. How y'all doing this morning? Man, y'all sound like y'all still waking up. How y'all doing this morning? Okay, that's what I'm talking about. So I've heard it said that words can either break you or rather make you or break you. Words, as we know, are powerful. In fact, we've learned last week that, you know, words, they are like tools in a construction site. Words, they can be used to build, and words, they can be used to break. Sort of, kind of, like a hammer. You guys follow what I'm saying? Like words, a hammer is incredibly versatile. You see this hammer right here? This hammer right here can be used to build an entire house. You know, you could take a nail and carefully place it into the wood and build or create a structure that is strong, that is stable and protective. But in the same way, this same hammer can be used to break things apart. It could smash through walls and it could tear down what once stood tall. Our words, without a shadow of a doubt, have a similar power. Just like a hammer in the, you know, hands of a skilled builder, words can be used to build people up, to encourage them. They can be used to create a foundation of hope and strength. A word that is thoughtful, a word that is helpful, a word that is inspiring, a word that is necessary and kind can build someone's confidence. It can restore broken relationships and it can bring peace in the midst of chaos. And here's the thing, words can also be destructive. A few harsh words can shatter someone's dream. It could shatter something that took years to build. It can shatter someone's sense of being. It could shatter a relationship. Words, when they're used recklessly, they can tear down someone's self-worth. They can break hearts. They can wreak havoc on someone's self-esteem. Ask me how I know. Not long ago, you know, I was asked to officiate my niece's wedding, and man, I thought it was going to be so cool because, you know, I got to marry my niece. So, you know, I'm getting ready for the special occasion, and so I go, you know, trying to shed some pounds, trying to lose a little weight, you know, because I'm trying to look good for the photos and everything. And so, I need you to get this. My dad, I had not seen him in a long period of time, right? So given the fact that I was, you know, going to officiate my niece's wedding, all my family, they were going to be there and it was going to be an exciting event. I was especially excited to see my dad. So get this. I arrived to the venue, I park, and I just so happened to park where my dad was parked, like right next to him. So, you know, when I got out the car, I see him, absolute joy overflooded my soul. And, you know, he sees me, I see him, and I'm like, hey, Papi, how you doing? And the first thing that comes out of his mouth is, man, you are fat. Man, like, dad, for real? I caught an immediate complex, y'all. You know, I'm sucking it in a little bit, you know, because I'm feeling a certain kind of way. He kind of made me want to, you know, smash a whole ice cream, pint of ice cream in my face, you know? And so I'm thinking to myself, my dad sure has a way with words. And if I'm honest, I'm no different from my dad. If I'm not careful, the same could be said of me. In fact, I can stand here in full transparency and declare to you that I have not always used my words to build people up. In fact, there are times that I failed miserably. And to that, my wife yells, amen. It's just me keeping it real. That's me. But how about you? How are you wielding your words? If you're joining us for the first time, you should know that we are in part two of our series titled The Weight of Your Words. And if you joined us last week, you might remember that Josh, he taught us that words are not equally weighted. Think about it. Negative spoken words like you'll never become anything in life, or you can't pull that off, or you're a junkie, or, you know, you're ugly, you're fat, you're a dirtbag. I hate you. They are weighty words, and these negative words, they weigh way more than positive words. In fact, let me ask, can you recall a time in your life that someone said something to you that absolutely crushed you? How did it make you feel? Heavy, I bet. Negative words can be so heavy that they can crush people. And this should bother all of us. Whether you are a Jesus follower or not, this should bother you. In fact, if you are a Jesus follower in the house today, this should bother you even more than anyone else in the room today. The idea that your words have the potential to wound, that they have the potential, you know, to break someone's confidence, to crush someone's self-esteem or inflict a scar that, you know, someone will have to carry for the rest of their lives. Using words that have the potential to break people should really bother us. It should bother us because as Jesus follower, you and I, we are one another people. I said that we are one another people. In John chapter 13, 34, as Jesus was approaching the end of his earthly ministry, he's breaking bread with his followers. And this is what he says. He says, a new command I give you. Love what? One another. As I have loved you, so must you love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. People will know that you are my followers if you love one another. And as we read through the letters of Paul, we find that Paul, he unpacks this concept, right? And he effectively communicates in practical ways that we are one another people. For example, Paul teaches us that we are supposed to encourage one another. We are supposed to honor one another, forgive one another, carry one another's burdens. Okay, he teaches us that we are supposed to sacrifice for the sake of the benefit of someone else, which means that our words, they matter. And we, those of us who call ourselves Jesus followers, we are more responsible than the average person for leveraging our words to build people up. In fact, these kind of words that build people up, they should characterize us. Several years ago, I had the privilege of organizing an event downtown Indianapolis. It was at the Circle, and you know, it brought people together for, you know, just to pray for our city. You know, and so it was early in the morning, and the team was getting stuff together. The music was drawing people's attention. And this one dude, he approached the person that was working behind the soundboard. And, you know, I saw them engage and, you know, in exchange, and the man walked away, and I looked in his face and I noticed that he was a little bit bothered. So I went over to him and I asked him, hey, bro, how you doing this morning? And in a soft but troubled voice, he said, I'm good overall, but I'm just a little bothered. He said, I went over there to ask this guy, you know, who's working on the soundboard about the event, and he was just rude. I mean, he asked me, what'd you want? Which made me think, you know, that he felt like I was begging him for money. And the gentleman, he proceeded to tell me, I don't need money. I got money. So I remember, you know, looking at the dude, and I said to him, man, I am so sorry. He's actually a good dude. He's probably just a little flustered trying to, you know, get the system to work. So I hugged the dude and he was cool after that, you know. And what the dude did not realize was that the soundboard guy was the lead pastor for a thriving church in the city. Can you imagine the harm that would have caused if that man knew that he was the pastor to a leading church in the city? Talk about adding insult to injury. Our words matter. Now, if you're not a Jesus follower in the house today, if you're not a Christian, or maybe you used to be a Christian and you just hit the eject button, you said, I'm out of here. Isn't it true that you may be able, or maybe a little bit more curious about Jesus, if Christians knew how important it was to be cautious with the words that they were using? Isn't it true that you might lean in a little bit more, or, you know, lean into this idea of rediscovering your faith, you know, that you once grew up with or that you once grew up in, if Christians around you had used their words a little differently? Our words matter. In fact, words have the capacity to shape us. So last week, we learned that negative words weigh more than positive words. This week, we're going to dig into the idea that the source determines the weight. In other words, the person that is using the words will determine the weight of the words. And here's what I mean by this. I'm going to try to paint a little picture for you, right? My daughter, you know, Aaliyah, when she was a toddler, we used to play this little game called "How much do you love me?" Right? And I would ask Aaliyah, how much do you love me? And she would say, "I love you this much. I love you this much." And it made me feel all giddy on the inside and super, we just have fun, right? And, you know, there was other occasion when I asked her, "Hey, baby, how much do you love me?" And she say, "I love you this much," right? She said, "I love you this much." And, you know, so imagine this, right? Imagine my wife and I are having a very serious conversation, and my wife says to me, "I love you this much." This little. If she said that, it'll probably break my heart because of the relational dynamic. Her words weigh far more. You see, my daughter's 5-pound words become my wife's 50-pound words because the weight depends on who's using the words. The source determines the source determines the weight. And let's dig a little bit deeper. If the source determines the weight, then the weight determines the impact, and the impact determines the outcome. The source of the word determines the weight of the word, and the weight of the word determines the impact of the word, you know, the way that it lands. And the impact ultimately, in most cases, not in all cases, determines the outcome of the word. So let me clarify just a little bit further. Check this out, right? So the key words here are, "I love you this much," little, right? The source of the weight is my daughter. Impact, I'm like, "You little rascal," right? And the outcome is, "Come here, baby, give me a big hug," right? Now, in contrast to this, the key words are the same. "I love you this much," right? This time, the source of the weight is my wife. The impact is, "I'm just taken aback," right? And the outcome is a broken heart. Do you follow? Just for the record, my wife absolutely loves me a whole lot, and I love her even more. In fact, she tells me that I'm her favorite preacher of all time. So I digress, but fundamental point is the source determines the weight, and the weight determines the impact, and the impact often determines the outcome. So here's what I need you to get. Here's what I need you to get. This is so important because it's not always the negative that has the weight. The source determines the weight of the positives as well. And this is why it is so important that every single one of you, whether you are a Jesus follower or not, you have a unique potential to leverage your weight, the weight of your words, in specific relationships. If you get this right, you make other people better. Just this past Sunday, something amazing happened, something that, you know, just warmed my little heart. You know, an older gentleman, he came up to me, and, you know, he's the member of Old West Park Church, and he shook my hand, and he came in for a hug, and, you know, he whispered something into my ear. He said, "This is gonna sound bad, but I need you to know that I doubted you. I doubted that this whole victory in the church thing was even gonna work." He goes on to say, "God is using you to reach so many people we could never reach, and this ministry is better because of you." His words, they almost moved me to tears. And get this, what he said actually really didn't even matter. It was the fact that he said it A man that I highly respected. It was the fact that he said it that it almost moved me to tears. It wasn't the what, it was the who. His words were impactful because the source determines the weight. The source determines the weight. So, what do we do with this? What do we do with this? Imagine if we just remembered that everywhere that we went, in every conversation that we have, every time you realize that I have a little bit of a unique advantage here, that I have a little bit of a unique relationship. Imagine what we can do if we just remember who you are and what you represent to the person on the other side of you. Remember who you are and what you represent to the other person on the other side of you. In any relationship where you have an advantage, whether it's positionally, relationally, or even financially, imagine what will happen if you remember that you have a unique opportunity to build someone up. Because your words, they carry additional weight. I just want to encourage you in the house today, leverage that opportunity to build up every single chance that you get. Leverage your weighty words to encourage and to build and to direct and to protect. One last illustration. If you are a mom or a dad in the house today, this is so important. When you walk into a child's room, you know, because they've been acting a fool, right? To deliver some bad news, all right? I mean, when you walk into a child's room to deliver some not so good news, you see somebody. You see somebody. You're looking into the eyes of someone who knows better. You see somebody that needs to do better. Isn't that right? But let me ask you, what do they see? Your child, they see a person whose approval they want more than anything else in the world. You need to know that the relationship you have with your child is not the same relationship your child has with you. Your child sees someone who is the authority and holds all of the cards. You see someone who you love and who is dependent on you. You have a relationship, but the relationship, it's not the same. And this is why who you are and what you represent should determine what we say and the words that we choose. Because who you are and what we say determines the weight of our words. Does that make sense? This applies to moms and dads, to employers, to employees, to Christians and non-Christians alike. If we could all just get this, imagine what the world would look like today. So, if you're not a Jesus follower, you know, this can be helpful for you, but if you are a Jesus follower in the house today, I need you to get this, because here's the thing. The stakes are even higher for us. If you are a Christian, if you call yourself a Jesus follower, this is not optional. We are obligated as Jesus followers to get this right. We are obligated because we have a responsibility, because we have been commanded by our Savior to love others the way that God, through Christ, has loved us. Which includes the way that we use our words. We have been commanded to leverage our words to the benefit of the other person in mind. Here's what Paul writes. He says, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is helpful for building others up." In other words, every conversation that we have is like a construction site. What are you building? Are you going to use your words to build up, or are you going to use your words to tear down? Let's keep reading. According to whose needs? According to their needs, not according to your needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And why must we do this? Why is this important? We do this. Do we do this just so that we could all gather along? No. No, no, no. That's not the reason. The reason that we do this is because you don't represent yourself. Listen, you are not just a representative of yourself. For those of us who are following Jesus, for us, the application has a twist. You know, this application right here applies to everyone. Remember who you are and what you represent to the person on the other side of you. But if you are a Jesus follower, a Christian, there is a twist. And here is the twist. Remember who you are and who you represent. Not what, but who you represent to the person on the other side of you. Who are you? You are more than an employer. You are more than an employee. You are more, you know, than you know, a neighbor in the community. You are more. I'm telling you, you are more than a parent. You are more than an older brother. You are more than an older sister. You are a follower of Jesus. And to use Jesus' words, you are called to be the salt of the earth. So your words, they should do what salt does. What does salt do? It preserves and it protects. It doesn't harm, it never undermines. And Jesus, he says there's more. It's not only that, but you are the light of the word, the world. So our words, they should bring light and life to every single person we meet, especially to those within our immediate circumference. Our words, they should bring life and light to the people on the other side of us. Then, just in case you didn't get this, Jesus, he doubles down. You know, just in case you didn't get this, he says, so here's what I need you to do. Since you are the light of the world, I want you to do something with it. Don't put that light under a bushel. Don't put it under a jar. He says, no, I want you to leverage your light. I want you to think about the person that's on the other side of you. I want you to let your light shine before others, that they may ultimately see how you live your life and have the ability to connect the dots between how you live and what you say and who you worship and who you follow. Shine your light to leverage who you are and who you represent to the person on the other side of you. To use weighty words to build and to encourage. Listen, y'all, this is not just an opportunity for us. It's actually our responsibility. Imagine just for a minute, imagine the kind of influence that the church would have in the community, that the church would have in the world if we just got this one thing right. Imagine the influence. Now, just to be clear, I'm not talking about having the kind of influence where we're going to take over or have control or, you know, bring more people onto our team. No, no, no. I'm not talking about that. Because our king, he said this, I have not come to be served. I came to serve. I came to give my life as a ransom for many. So imagine if we just took on the attitude of Christ, if we just took on the mindset of Christ, as Paul said, imagine if Jesus followers embrace this posture, the posture of thinking about the words that are about to come out of our mouth, the posture of being careful of how they are communicating with those words to the people on the other side of them. Imagine where our country would be. Imagine where this world would be. This is what we have been invited to. Listen, I'm not exaggerating. It was that kind of attitude. It was that kind of posture that changed the world for the better at one point. Imagine if that had remained our track record. You know what people will probably say? People talking to you will probably say something like this. You see, these Christians, they believe some strange stuff, but I gotta be honest, all right? They are the most encouraging people I ever met. They may say something like, even when they say hard things, you really can't help but to believe that they have your best interests in mind. They would say, gosh, it's really hard to hate these people. I promise, it's just hard to hate them. It really is, because even though I might not agree with them, I think that they are genuine. And I think that they are sincere. And when I'm in trouble, you know who I'm going to call? I'm going to call on the Christians. That's who I'm going to call. That's what people will say when we get this right. But when we don't get this right, Paul tells us what it looks like. He tells us what it sounds like. When we don't get this right, we lose the right to be heard. We are neither salt nor are we light. We are not preserving anything. We are not protecting anything. We are just having our way in the world. Do you know what you sound like when you use the words that you're using in a negative fashion? I don't care how many degrees you have. You can have more degrees than a thermometer. I don't care if you have perfect theology. I don't care if you have the clearest picture of God of anyone else in the world. I don't care that you know the whole Testament front and back. I don't care how many verses you know, or even if you know the Greek back and forth. I don't care. If you don't get this right, do you know what your words are to the people in your community and the people who are around you? You know what they actually hear? Paul says you sound like a resounding gong, a clanging cymbal. And if you don't know what that sounds like, I want to illustrate this for you real quick. Just bear with me while I get this set up. This is what Paul says you sound like. And if you are a chatterbox in the house, if you got a big mouth, you're always running your lips. That's what you sound like. Is that you? It's obnoxious, isn't it? Think about it. Nobody wants to hear that. Paul says, if love is not driving your words, if concern for other people isn't the filter through which your words pass, if you are not there to build them up, then you ought to just shut up. Because you are doing way more harm than you are doing any good. If you're not a Christian, chances are that it was the reckless, unchristlike words of Christians that either drove you away or keep you away. Or maybe it was the reckless, unchristlike words of Christians that were spoken to somebody that you love that drove you away or maybe keep you away. If that's the case for you, I am so sorry. I hope that you can look past us, that you can look beyond us. And I hope that you can look to Jesus, who reserved his harshest words for religious people toward those he loved the most. He reserved his harshest words towards religious people who were careless with the words that they chose to use toward the people that he loved. So, here's the challenge for us. Remember, this is for all of us. Remember who you are and what you represent to the person on the other side of you. And if you're a Christian, remember, there's a twist. Let us remember who you represent. Remember who you are and who you represent to the person on the other side of you. Remember to take you into account. Take yourself into account, because the source determines the weight, and the weight determines the impact, and the impact oftentimes determines the outcome. So leverage your words accordingly. This is just one more thing that love requires of us. Can we pray? Father God, we bow our hearts in your presence, acknowledging, God, that we are sometimes messy. And we are in desperate need of you, Lord God. Because you have called us to be a light, but in our human nature, oftentimes, we're reckless with our words, we're careless with our words, and it makes an impact on somebody's life, whether positive or negative. So I pray, Lord God, that you allow the words that are coming out of our mouths to be weighty, positively weighty, so weighty, Lord God, that people in their crushed nature, Lord God, of that weighty word will be just compelled to draw closer and closer to you. That when people see us, they will acknowledge that there is a difference in this person's life, and they would want to taste and see that you are good. God, I pray that you help us to be thoughtful, to think before we respond, Lord. And God, I thank you for this message as you are speaking through me and to me. I'm asking you, God, that you be with us, Lord God, because at the end of the day, heaven is our home and we are just here recruiting. And if that's the case, Lord, I pray that you help us to use our words to recruit as many as we can to expand the kingdom. We love you in Jesus' mighty name. Everyone says amen and amen.